What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.
What's ever on their minds.
Talking about what's ever on their minds.
Hello out there in podcast land. It is Flip and Allison again.
Yay, Remu!
Yes, Remu, everybody. Welcome to this, the newest, the greatest. Well, I don't know about the greatest, but
it's not even that new anymore. We've been on a long time.
No, I'm saying this episode
is the newest.
Is the newest episode? Yes. Yeah, duh, woman.
It's the newest, Jewest episode that there ever was.
It is What's for Dinner, everybody, for today, Tuesday, February 5th.
Stop it! The cat wants to eat everything.
This is one of the drawbacks about recording in your apartment, is you have fucking cats that like to play with cords. Stop it.
Okay, we better just put her in the other room. Hmm? Come here, baby.
No. She'll be fine.
She'll be all right.
That is our one of our cats, Birdie. So, guys, welcome. Welcome to today's episode. And I got to be honest, and Allison was already chastising me before we even started, because I'm kind of going into this episode in a little, I'm a little funky funkerton. Yeah, let me explain what happened, okay? So, Allison, and by the way, I'm going to preface this by saying, in the grand scheme of the world, this is not a big deal. Like, you and I.
This is so insignificant.
It is insignificant. You know, we have our health, we have each other, you know, we have a roof over our head and we have food, but there are still things, the most well-off people still have bad days because it's all relative. So if you're listening to this and you're like, dude, I don't give a shit. I don't have a job. I'm starving. My fucking wife is fucking the milkman. First of all, I live in a box. Why do you have a milkman? It's 2013.
How are you listening to this if you live in a box?
Good point, honey. Very good point. We just poked a hole in your theory, listener, so fuck off. So here's what happened. We got up today and Allison's car for the past couple days has had battery trouble.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, we got to get the battery replaced. Ah, this sucks.
It just had a birthday. Just turned 10. Come on.
And we're like, okay, well, you know, battery might cost us. She got a quote for like just under 100. Like, you know what? We can take care of that now. And the only reason I'm even concerned about money right now is I just got a very big credit card bill. You ever spend so much on your credit card and you're thinking, that's a little here, a little here, a little there, a little there, and then you get that bill, you're like, holy fuck, did I really spend that much in 1 month?
So my little bit goes a long way.
Which is what she tells me every night in bed. So I get this massive credit card bill I just was not expecting, and it's just a lot of money. Not that we don't have it, it's a lot to take out at one time, and I'm one of those people who just loves to pay the credit card bill right away. I don't like having any kind of debt. I don't like anything like that. I like to get it out of the way. Some people might call that stupid, like my wife. But
I don't say it's stupid. It's just he gives himself an ulcer in order to pay the whole thing off. Where the whole idea of the credit card is that you can.
Later.
But if you pay it off in an increment that is affordable to you,
then
still, you do it twice
debt.
Instead
it's
of once.
Still, you're still paying debt and paying interest. No, it's not. I don't want any debt. I've never had debt.
If we're talking about it's, you know.
You know how much my bill was. I don't want to do monthly payments on that on top of what I'm going to be paying. I just want to get it over
with. Whatever chunk you can do, you do. But you don't stretch yourself out to try to, like, scramble for the bigger chunk.
It's like a Band-Aid. You know, we have the money to pay for it. It's going to hurt us for a month or so, but we have the money to pay for it. I'd rather do it like that. So anyway, that, which literally just happened yesterday, we get up today. I try to jump her car.
It don't jump, no.
Now, much like sorority girls, when you try to jump them and they're not ready for it, they don't turn over.
What? That didn't make any sense.
When you're trying to jump a sorority girl and they're not ready for it, they don't turn over. I thought that was a really cool analogy.
But a sorority girl? Well, maybe a cheerleader. You try to jump on I don't know.
It's the same thing. Every cheerleader grows up to be a sorority girl, then grows up to be a doctor's wife, then grows up to be a plastic surgeon's nightmare. Would you let me talk without interrupting? Oh my god, the room just got really cold.
I wasn't interrupting. We were having banter.
I know. I'm just trying to tell a story, and every other thing is like, ooh, hey, ooh. So anyway, so we go rolling your eyes. So we go to jump the car, and it's not jumping. It's not turning over. So we're like, shit. Well, we have AAA. Let's call them. AAA guy comes over. Very nice guy. Does some tests with the battery. Goes, you know what? Your battery's kind of bad, but I don't think it's your battery. He then pokes around. He knocks on the starter, and the car turns over and starts running. And he's like, ah, your starter's fucked. Well, he didn't say it like that, but he might as well have. And they're like, oh, shit. So the starter motor and the battery. And your air conditioning, by the way. Didn't even mention that.
And I have my mirror. My car's falling apart. My mirror came off. Like, my passenger side mirror had come off a few months ago. And I like, jimmy-rigged it to I don't know, just kind of hold on. And it's been holding on. It's kind of shaky when I drive, but it's still holding on. Problem is, I didn't realize this. I just got my car tinted to. The alignment of the window is a tiny bit off now because I thought it had to do with the tint, but I found out that I was totally wrong. It has to do with the mirror that came off pulled the rubber off of the alignment of the window. So now, like, if I don't get all these things fixed, eventually it's going to be even more expensive and a bigger problem. So four problems in one right now.
Basically, her car is kind of like, it's turning into the end of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which is going to be a shell of a car and no doors and whatever.
Like, it's a double-digit birthday. It was about time. It's given me no problem, and at least it all happened at once.
Well, it's just the timing sucks.
I know.
Because of the credit card bill and everything.
I know.
So, yes, now we gotta replace your starter. We already replaced the battery from AAA.
So that's okay.
But
so
we
three
gotta replace
more
the starter. And the mirror, honestly, the mirror, I could give a shit about. It's on there fine.
It has to do with the window. It's not about the mirror. The mirror I'm cool with, too. But realizing that the window is coming off of
alignment.
Don't
roll down your window. Just don't roll down your window for now.
For now, but what I'm saying is that it could be a bigger problem later.
But right
I'm
now,
not
right
saying
now,
we have to race to do it.
Right now,
it's not an issue.
Don't even touch your window.
We're not going to, darling.
Matter of fact, I want you to put a big X over your window thing so you don't even roll it down. Make sure the passenger can't open it. Turn that little lock on.
Darling.
Yes.
What I'm saying is...
I know what you're saying.
Eventually, it will need to be done because we don't want to pay thousands of dollars to fix the whole window, dude.
I know. Ooh, I know. All I'm saying is the important thing right now is the starter, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, so anyway, waking up to all of this kind of like shit right now is, I'm not saying it's put me in a bad mood, but it's definitely not the way you want to start a day. You know, it's like, good morning, world. Oh, and by the way, in Los Angeles right now, it is gray weather. You know, when I
I love. We needed a little bit of this. It's constantly sunny here.
It is true. It is true. Like, I like this cold
recently,
weather.
Yeah.
I kind of like this, I don't want to say, not morbid, just a relaxing kind of feel outside.
It's a calming. Some people get completely depressed by this. Funny, the auto people that I was calling, just to be nice, said, how are you doing today? And one guy was like, I'll tell you, it hasn't been a good day. This weather is making everybody feel weird. And I mean, like, really, it does change people's moods, but I don't mind the change of it since it's constantly sunny. And people in other states would go, fuck you guys with your constantly sunny weather. I'm in snow up to my fucking stomach and, you know, what the hell are you talking about?
Snow up to your stomach?
I don't know.
What the fuck?
Are we reaching places in the Arctic?
People here in Siberia do not appreciate your mocking of the weather. We would kill for sun. Snow up to our titties here.
Look, anything that you have too much of becomes monotonous.
You.
Oh, thanks. That was very sweet of you. Well, I was waiting for you to speak like a nice person. Come on.
You never wait for me to speak.
We've been having banter. Don't say that.
It's banter, really.
Well, when you stop speaking, then I speak. That's how a conversation works.
Is that how it works?
So that's how I was taught.
Remember, children, when you're having a conversation, you stop the other person's thoughts, and that's how it works.
Yep.
Now go out into the world and make money.
Yep, exactly. But don't learn how to control it.
No.
But anyway.
So,
gray weather.
So hopefully we get this kind of yuck done at the beginning of the day, and the rest of the day turns out. So she's not going to use her car. Because next week, and by the way, little plug for anybody in the college area, up in the...
in the college area. If anybody is in a college area.
Let me rephrase, you bitch. For anybody up in the Pennsylvania area, about Penn State, I'll be doing a little college run next week.
Oh, you're doing Penn State?
I'm doing Penn State, Wilkes-Barre. I'm doing... I forgot the name of the... It's like Miss Cordia or something in Dallas, Pennsylvania. And I apologize to that college for not remembering the exact name. It's kind
That's
of a weird Indian or something name. And then I'm doing, oh my God, where am I after that? In Newark, Delaware, at the University of Delaware. So that's the 15th, 17th, and 18th. All the dates and info are on my website, flipisfunny.com. But while I go out and do that run, I'm going to make some money, come back, and we'll use that money toward fixing your car.
And I'm going to be working another plug at Daddy's Pipes and Collective on Ventura and Van Nuys in Sherman Oaks, California.
Yes, to any of you stoners out here in Sherman Oaks, go see Allison this week at Daddy's Pipes and Collectives.
And tip me because I because I need money.
We need
for
money
my starter.
For her car. Matter of fact, anybody out? Tell you what, let's play a little podcast game. Anybody out there who wants to donate,
just buy us a starter
to fixing Allison's car. I'll tell you what.
No, that's the Jewiest thing I've ever
heard.
No.
I'm gonna do something very, very cool. at least I think it's cool. To anybody who donates $20 or more,
Jesus, really?
Shh, quiet. To the Fix Allison's Car Fund, we will send you an autographed copy of a comedy DVD of mine and Allison's CD. So
well,
to anybody, $20 or more, you get a free autographed DVD and CD from me and Allison. And
if it's more, we'll just send you more.
No, let's not get crazy.
Oh, okay.
It's $20 or more. So you can donate $20 or $500, and you'll get a DVD. And actually, if you donate $500, I'll throw in a T-shirt because I'm a nice guy.
If you throw in $500, I'll come wherever you are and blow you. Because that's more than the car. You've basically just given us fucking extra.
Jeez,
we can tint flips windows for that.
I should give you $500.
Well, I come on, like I don't blow you.
You blow me away.
Ooh, look at him with his sweet things that he says.
No, you do. We have a decent. God, what an awful word for our sex life is decent.
Well, I'm half asleep. I'm half asleep most of the time.
You really are. Like, I mean, Allison. Like, honestly, well, how long did it take us to get to sex talk? About 11 and a half minutes.
Yeah, right.
No, when it comes to getting intimate, Allison is a very giving person, but most of the time she's just like, just get it over with.
I've been tired. I mean, I can't even tell you. This back issue has been taking a lot of my energy away. But the good thing is that after 2 months on the road, I'm getting back to physical therapy. Actually, today, right after the podcast, I'm going to physical therapy, and I'm going to get the ball rolling again and try to
get
my energy back.
Which is also one of our sexual positions, the ball rolling.
The ball rolling.
Yes.
But once I get my energy back, it'll be a little easier to be more intimate. I mean, it's...
Let me ask you a question, Allie. Hmm. Can we get, like... I'm going to open up some personal can of worms here.
Oh, you go, Vault. All right. Like, we don't already.
I know, but we're going even more deeper into... And that's actually a very astute word for what I'm about to bring up.
Deeper into my vaginus?
Not the veggie. The roundabout other side back door.
Yeah, dude, when you have a back problem, try to imagine taking a backward shit. That's all I got to say. Not even kidding you.
A backward shit.
Yeah, try to imagine that. Okay, you have a back problem.
That'd be a thiss.
Like a vault.
Or a tiss. That's it, a tiss. Or if it's backward crap, it's a park. Or a poop would be a poop.
And you think I'm punny. Jesus. But anyways, no. But the idea is that, yes, I have claimed it is a very enjoyable position if, A, you're completely relaxed, B, the guy knows what he's doing, meaning that he doesn't just race into the situation. You gotta let the area know that something's gonna happen, and you gotta do it slowly and over a course of time. After about 15 minutes of slow work, then you can start to take the backward shit. But it's real. Listen, I'm telling you, when I'm stronger, we'll get ass playing again.
Well, what I was gonna ask, see, you didn't even let me ask my question. All I said,
you didn't
I didn't ask my question. I just brought up the subject, and you went, "Well, let me tell you about anal sex. It's like taking a backward shit when you got a bad back. You understand?" And I'm like,
"No, it's like
wanted to ask is had nothing to do with that. It was just literally the back door of our apartment. What do you think? Should we get it?"
Oh, you're such a dickhole. Whatever.
I know.
Poopy pants.
No, what I was gonna ask.
No, honey, but by the way, it's always like a backward shit. It's not just because of my back problem. It's always a backward shit. Yes. But sometimes, you know how when a shit feels really good, it's almost orgasmic when a shit feels good? Just imagine that when you're fully relaxed, that's how anal sex is.
It's like taking a shit?
Taking the most relaxing, awesome, orgasmic shit over and over again for 3 minutes till he comes.
For 3 minutes? So you think that's about as long as a...
Oh, when you go to a tight tuchus, when you're in a tight tuchus, it's unlike anything. It's like anything, unlike anything the vagina can provide.
You know what I'm looking forward to is when we have kids and they listen to these old episodes and,
"Mommy, you took it up the ass." Like, well, it's like taking a backward shit, honey.
Just relax. Oy, gavalt.
And the friends, the parents of our kids' friends, like, are gonna go, "We don't want your kids playing with our kids anymore."
Yeah, we appreciate no more ass talk to
Floppy Schultz was
Floppy
was
Schultz.
Talking about taking a backward shit up his ass. Yeah, we don't want Timothy playing with him.
Yeah, we figured out that since Flip's name is Flip, his brother's nickname became Flop as they were growing up.
It's true.
I am because I'm a woman. I'm Flap, not only because of my vaginus, but because of my flappy lips. Exactly.
Both of them.
So our baby's gonna be Flop. Flop. It's gotta be like
Flop. With all this.
Or like
Flop.
Or like Flep. Flep. There we go.
Flep. What the fuck is Flep?
It's the other vowels. Or Flipe. Flipe. Flup. Flep.
How about Floop?
Or Floop. Yeah, I guess Floop.
Because he'll keep shitting himself. He's a little flip poop. He's a Floop.
Floop. It was the fluke that I got pregnant, so he's a Floop. Backward shit. Backward shit.
Oh, this is so
insane. Love when it's just me as a guest, don't you?
You know what? There's a lot less pressure. And by the way, speaking of guests...
Speaking of pressure, backward shit. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Actually, no, wait, real quick. I meant to say that the back door song is on your new CD, right?
Oh, yes. Everything.
So, as a matter of fact, since we're just on that subject, we're going to throw in right now a sneak preview of Allison's brand new CD she just released called... not live.
Oh, okay.
We're going to take the... We're gonna play the track from the album.
Oh, sweet. That's
right.
So you guys
hear a little sneak preview. And remember, you can get this album off Allison's website, dirtyguitargirl.com. What's the name of the song?
.com.
What's the name of the song that we call it?
I think it's just called Backdoor.
Okay, here's Back.
Hey, it is your birthday. So then I said, okay, but you gotta take it easy so that you don't make me sore. First tickle the outside before you go for the ride, and soon, soon, soon you'll be up my back door. Please don't try to shove it, do it slow and I will love it, little bit by little bit and then a little more. When it's lubricated, the less that I will hate it, soon, soon, soon you'll be up my back door. You always try it way too fast, that won't make me a fan. It's not an area that I'm accustomed to. Ooh, ooh, ooh. If you first please use a digit, I'll be less likely to fidget. Soon, 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 you'll be up my back door. In a bit, switch to your dick, speed up when you know you can. I know to most that this whole topic is taboo, but I will have my best orgasm when he's deep inside my chasm, when he's ooh, 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 up inside my back door.
I love that song. I really do.
And I wish that it got a bigger reaction. I think that after people have heard all the other dirty songs that I sing on my set, because I can't do that one early in the set. It has to save for the
end.
You
have to work your way into the
back
door.
You have to work, exactly. Just like the backdoor song teaches you.
Exactly.
But it's at that point, it gets the few chuckles, but I think people are just in astonishment that I've made an anal sex song, and it doesn't get the huge guffaw laughs that I hoped for.
Well, I think they're guffunny as gahell.
Thank you, Guflip.
Thank you. It's one of my favorite songs that you do, honestly.
Really? It's a brand new one, too. Brand new. I've been trying to write a little cleaner since I've kind of covered every aspect. You know what? One thing I didn't realize I didn't cover, though?
What's that, babe?
There's one topic inside. I literally cover. I mean, by the way, podcast. Who can name anything besides the following sexual things as a topic for a song? You let me know, because I think I've covered it all. I have a shaving the vagina song.
Right.
I have a holding the poop song about being around people that you don't want to poop in front of, like a boyfriend or something. I've got a whiskey dick, masturbate, glass dildo, and why I hate them, because they're fucking way too hard and weird. I've got why I hate 69, blowjob song of why it should just swallow. I've got a fake it song of why men need to learn how to have sex better so that women don't have to fake orgasms. I have an anal sex song. I have a queefing song.
Jesus, honey.
I mean, like, literally, I've covered it. Well, I just did, basically. I mean, if I'm forgetting anything, let me know. I have a come in the hair song. Don't come in my hair.
Yeah, can't forget the come in the hair.
No come in the hair. Am I forgetting anything? I think that's just about it. Oh, and like, don't give a uncomfortable, intense look when you're trying to turn us on. I basically have, I think, covered everything except, and here's what I was building up to. Threesomes. Being a straight girl with another girl. That's the one thing I have not covered.
Well, you know what? I think we should bring a girl into the bed so you can get inspired. And we should do that every night until you come up with a really great song, which I think might take a while.
Yeah, you know what?
Matter of fact, any women out there who would like to be the test subject for a threesome song, please send in $20 to $500 and we will...
And I'll come and blow you.
We will give you a CD and a T-shirt.
And I'll come blow you. And then you come blow me. Blow you. But yes.
And then I'll just come below both of you.
But yes, no, that's the one thing I have to do. So if anybody else could think of sexual things, and no repeating, if it's within the realm of the topic, I don't want it, because I've already done it, and I've done it to ad nauseum. So I'm not thinking of a relationship issue.
Maybe you should really start thinking about cleaner songs.
Well, that's why I said, because I've tackled everything within the sexual and relationship realm for the most part, I want to go to cleaner songs. I just don't find clean topics. In my mind, I don't laugh out loud at some clean topics that I've come up with already. So,
well, honey, you know, I mean, we've discussed this. You're limiting the places you could play.
I'm not trying to not write, but my problem is that when I, because it's like I do all parody songs, and the parodies either come to my mind by A, listening to the original, and I just think of a funny play on the chorus, and that'll bring the idea, and it's usually a dirty idea, because that makes me laugh out loud. I have a horrible, horrible brain, but the even slightly chuckleable clean topics that I've come up with, every time I've sat and written them, it's not funny. Even when I think it's funny, I'll bring it to a crowd and they're never responding.
Did you just say
it.
Chuckleable?
Chuckleable, yeah. It you know, even a light guffaw. I like baby chuckles, but that's the thing. I have not
baby
found
chuckles. By the way, quick side note, if you're listening and you notice suddenly the volume and everything has kind of tweaked out and got a little weird for the past couple minutes, my bad. I was tweaking with the board, and I think I might have affected our actual recording. But
he's just tweaking right now.
I'm tweaking. Yeah. I've been tweaking, but I apologize. It's not you. It's me.
He's been trying to break breaking that bad habit.
We need
breaking
to break
bad tweaking. What?
Tweak what?
Nothing.
You're a bitch.
We're talking about meth.
I know. It's the method of modern love.
Ooh.
So, I know what you're saying, honey, but not that you're bad at it. I mean, we just did a week in Anchorage, Alaska. And by the way, quick shout out to Coots up in Anchorage.
Oh, we love Chilcoot Charlie's.
Great club, great people, great time. Love going there. Amazing audiences. Thank you guys so much for coming out to all the shows. Seriously, breaking every record I've had as far as audience attendance on most days. So thank you guys so much.
Yay!
But yeah, audiences love what you do. But like I said, remember when we were doing that little tour, I think, up around Fresno, and you had to play to the old people, and they just stared at you.
Yeah, like that's the I mean, but like I said, I have been trying very earnestly to think of clean topics, to listen to songs and just try to think of a clean thing that comes to mind. And every time, I mean, I've written 4 or 5 clean songs, and they just don't work. They just do not work. I don't know why. Maybe I'm just not funny clean. But that's the thing. I know that that's a cop out. That most comics, yep, they start out with the dirty stuff because it's the easiest laugh. It's the most comfortable place. I'm still just really learning how to be a comic. This was sort of thrust upon me. So,
well, I mean, honey, you've been at it 4 years now, off and on. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. You're not at it every night at going out to the open mics and everything, which is not your fault. I'm just saying, it's you're on and off as far as how often you do it and how often you really work on your stuff.
I've been more on over this last year, but I've been
more than the prior years. Yes, but I mean, call a spade a spade. You're not going out to the open mics every night. You're not really in the community. You only go out when you get booked on a show.
That's true. I need to get out more.
You need to get out more. You need to try new songs. You need to structure yourself.
I'm going
to
get this energy going with this physical therapy.
Yeah, don't.
I'm going to get out.
Remember we were talking about like what I said last night? Like, I want to do more with my day. I'm sick of just sitting. Because this is true. Like, I don't know about you guys. Like, the last couple months, I've been feeling like a big lazy shit. Just not doing really much with my day as far as leaving the apartment, enjoying myself. I'm on my computer, I'm Facebook and working, blah, 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 blah. So I'm gonna make a concerted effort to really start changing what I'm doing with myself. You should do the same thing with your career.
I completely agree, and I've already been in the mindset of that.
Good. Well, you should, because you are talented. You know that. I'm not just saying that because I'm your husband. I really mean that as a comedian. Like, I admire what you do up there. You know,
thanks,
babe. It's really fun watching you too, because it's like I see you develop. I met you literally like your third time ever doing comedy,
basically.
And
yeah.
Since then, I've seen how you've grown and progressed. You know, and you've come a long way in a very short amount of time. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, babe.
You're welcome.
That's another thing. Like,
I do think there's more.
Oh no, absolutely.
I know. Matter of fact, I know there's more.
I agree 100%.
And I'm gonna go in there and find it.
Nice, through the back door.
Just relax.
Yeah. But I was gonna say, pretty much. You know, of course, being so new in the industry, I get a lot of feedback. I get a lot of advice from a lot of comics. And here's one thing that I realized, that in the beginning when I did not know what I was doing, like I said, this was sort of thrust upon me. I didn't think this was my avenue. And I was sort of prompted like, hey, if you write down some songs, you know, you could get some stage time. So it was really a new idea. And everybody said, A, you got to put down the guitar. You've got to start talking jokes. B, you've got to work clean. You know, C, you should develop your character. And it was like everything that I've been told that I needed to do, I think that I was delayed for a year because I was desperately trying to succumb to everybody else's advice, and it wasn't working for my path. And I realized, actually fairly recently, within this last year, that although I don't want to be dirty forever, that I am currently known as the dirty guitar girl. Where my ideas come from most easily are from my dirty part of my brain. It's unfortunate that it's that limited, but if that's where it's coming from, don't deny it. And that's what I realized for myself. I can listen to everybody else till I'm blue in the face, but I need to follow what ideas are coming to me. So I've become really comfortable in comedy only recently by almost disregarding, like taking everything in at the same time where I'm disregarding it and kind of following my own path. And my own path is telling me right now that, okay, you've now gotten comfortable in your own sort of skin, but you don't want that to be your only skin. I don't want the dirty guitar girl to be the only skin that I'm comfortable in. So I think that over this next year, you're going to see a lot of new changes from the dirty guitar girl.
I hope so.
I'm going to be the clean guitar girl very soon.
I want you to be the clean guitar girl.
I'm going to be the somewhat...
But not stray away from
what I'm good at.
Not what you're good at, but what resonates with you as far as funny. It's just... there's a way you could do both. You know, you don't have to go like, here's a song about fucking up the ass and here's a song about Christmas. You know, it's still do suggestive songs, like hinting, but not mention any, no profanity, no specifics as far as ooh, you know, in and out there. You know, you could tease at it.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Because I think you had some clean songs that you wrote, but they were so far to the extreme opposite of what you did, like the Jews and the Forever Young thing. The weight was all right, but I think those as funny as they were for what they were so far from what you had done and what you were used to and what you were really good at and getting the response from.
I wasn't comfortable in it.
You weren't comfortable with them. So I think if you just move that clean, maybe two clicks closer to dirty, but not dirty, you'll find your rhythm there, maybe.
Or maybe at this point, since I've not readdressed any of the clean songs in this last year, the kind of confidence and comfortableness that I've achieved over the last year would start to blend into that side of things.
Well, maybe
I could do a full clean set And try to just do it as me.
You know what? I think what you should do is take some of the, like you said, revisit some of those old songs. Look at them again from, like you said, a more experienced eye. You're, you know, a year or two more experienced since you wrote them.
Yeah.
And maybe change them a little bit. Not necessarily the whole song, but you still have the basic idea. But now you're like, hey, you know what a better line would be instead of that? Would be this.
Yeah.
You know? And just, like, punch it up. I do that with all my... I mean, you've seen my... I have my book of comedy. And, you know, once, maybe twice a year, when I'm on the road or something, I'll go through and I'll look at literally jokes I wrote 15 years ago and go, shit, you know what? That is a funny idea. But, oh, you know, it'd be better if I said it like this or if I said this instead of this. And then I'll, like, the... for example, the Fat Albert joke that I do now. Punched up when I wrote it, like back in 99 or 2000, the magic joke with a rabbit, boom. You know, like all of these old jokes are now better and they're regulars in my act now, and I wrote them over 10 years ago.
Hmm. Yeah. No, I have to have to revisit some of these things.
Oh, damn it.
What's better? Oh my God, really?
Yeah. Oh my God. People, this is the worst timing ever.
No, don't say anything.
Hey folks, real quick, got to take a quick break. While we take this break to sort out a technical issue, here is another one of Allison's songs from her new album called So. I wrote a song about it. Which song would you like people to hear?
What have I not done on the air? Did I do Creepy last time? I think you made me do Creepy.
I think you did Creepy, yeah.
Maybe 69? Has that been on here?
Who cares? I don't know.
All right.
Because it's
all
new.
We'll do one of my faves.
It's all new recordings. Okay, here's Allison.
Bummer of 69.
With her song, The Bummer of 69. Be right back.
I've done my best to be understanding. I've been trying to like it every time. But no matter what, I've come to the conclusion that I really hate to 69. I know why you guys think it's cool to get head while you're eating what could be more rad. But now your nose is right by my asshole, and I can't stop worrying if I smell bad. That's when I wonder how and who came up with this endeavor. Psh, I know it must have been the boys, 'cause for girls it's hard to get the same pleasure. I'm trying to give you yours while I get mine. That's why I'd rather not 69. Oh no. Don't think my intent is to whine about sucking your dick. I'm happy to do it anytime. But it's a moment I want to treasure and do it my leisure now. When you're licking me, my movements are strange, and when I'm about to come, the feeling is gone. So that's when I open my eyes and I look down, I realize I've gotta finish sucking your schlong. Please don't think that I'm a bore. I felt that I just had to mention I could suck it like a high-class whore if I could give your dick my full attention. And after that, it will be your turn to dine.
And we are back, everybody. So much has happened since we went to the break. We got a UPS delivery of books from our good friend Michael Biggins, who you could check out at blackout.com.
Yes, he is the famous Blackout.
Which has nothing to do with the Super Bowl blackout, ironically, which was really fucking weird.
That was crazy.
What
and
a
awesome.
Great game, by the way.
Yeah, it was. It was like a sign from up above. They were like, calm the fuck down, 49ers.
I swear to God, there's a 49ers fan who was just like, unplug everything. We gotta fuck this shit up.
But at the same time, I think it gave them just enough, like, cooling down from their thought process that they were going to be creamed entirely, because they were getting creamed entirely.
Yeah, I mean, it was sad. It was like, I was like, okay, the 49ers are done.
They have like a halftime. They're like, okay, guys, don't worry. I know that they were like crazy good in the beginning, those Ravens, but we'll get them this time. And then literally five seconds into the second half.
Jones just runs a 108-yard return. Like, that's like literally the 49ers. They get beat
Holy
up. They get like that. That's like somebody, like a kid getting beat up by a bully, then have the bully shit on him, then piss on him, then fuck his mother in front of him. Then when it's all done, the bully comes back and says, "Oh, and by the way, I just knocked up your mother. I'm your new father." Like, that's how bad that rape of a play
extreme.
Was.
That was extreme.
That was a little bit extreme, but you see my point.
But in either regard, it was crazy that, like, immediately when that was done, like, the lights went out just on the 49ers side. Like, the 49ers side of the field was...
That's right.
Was the side that went... It was almost like, okay, guys, sleep, calm, go...
This never happened.
Yes. No. But then it was crazy. The minute the lights went back on...
It was like
they
a
were
restart. Fucking,
yeah. They were doing great. And then they only lost by three.
Yeah.
So in my eyes, the 49ers won in their own right, because to come back from something like that and all the hubbub, fucking brilliant. Yeah. So and to only lose by three, fucking brilliant.
It was really like a Hoosiers moment. You know, I swear that's going to be a movie or something, and Samuel Jackson's going to play Solomon.
Can we get gay for a second here and talk about how much Beyonce killed that shit, by the way?
I give a shit.
No, I thought that she actually did a really good job.
No, she
though.
Did a great job. Yeah, it was a really good. I mean, all around, it was a really exciting game.
And the Destiny's Child came back together.
Well, that I could give a shit about.
It was fun.
I was never Destiny's. You know who? What was?
TLC.
Oh no! Wait, did Destiny Child and Salt and Pepper do "What a Man"? Who was that?
No, that was En Vogue.
En Vogue. Oh God, they were hot.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I remember, because you know what? En Vogue.
No, you're never gonna get it.
Never gonna get it. What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty fine man.
Mighty, mighty fine man. I love that you know that.
Oh, I used to like, wait.
There's a,
here we go again. Girls, what's my weakness?
That's Shoop, babe, and that's just Salt and Pepper.
Shoop?
That was just Salt and Pepper. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, the other one was, you're so adorable.
I'm so white. Like, that was what a man.
What about En Vogue's, giving him something he can feel?
No,
remember
I
that
do.
One?
No.
To let him know that your love is real.
Mm-mm.
No? What about free your mind and the rest will follow. I loved En Vogue.
Be colorblind. Don't be so shallow.
You're so cute.
I try. I really do try.
I could tell. Very hard. You were close to those notes.
Sometimes I hit the notes all right.
You're precious.
Also...
Sorry. Inside joke from a long time ago.
Not that long, but it's still it's still a pretty fucked up inside joke.
Yeah. Well, now you got to tell them what the joke is. We've just said it was inside 15 times.
Or twice.
I use the word inside at least three.
We'll listen back. It was twice. No, basically, this is so bad. You know what? Fuck it. It made us laugh.
Have we said worse things on the show? Yes. So continue.
All right. So remember a couple of years ago when, what's her name? Gabrielle
Sibagay or something like that?
Something like that. The girl from Precious, when she was nominated for the role, which she was amazing.
I didn't see the movie. No.
Her and Monique. I mean, Monique was beyond amazing, like really shockingly amazing. And Gabrielle was also fantastic in it. And she deserved the nomination and all the success she has. But when she was at the Oscars, and you know, Gabrielle, she's a rather large black girl. You know, let's just not beat around the bush. She's a big black girl. So every time they showed her, when they were talking about, like when Oprah came out and was talking about her, and she was kind of in like a nice dress, but it was a strapless, and she's kind of sitting there with all of her large blackness. And every time they showed her, she was just smiling. Every time they showed her, I just went, hey, I'm going to win an Oscar today.
It's so evil. It's hilarious.
Yes, it's evil.
And
but,
hilarious.
But you know what? She's the one with a huge career and the Oscar nomination. And I'm sitting here in my living room doing a podcast. So
look,
all's fair in, you know, in love and
hey-ness.
There are a lot of black... I mean, there are a lot of black people. There are a lot of bigger people that totally, like, embrace their bigness.
Absolutely. And she does completely. And I think, I think she's a beautiful woman. Mm. I really do. She's a very, very pretty woman. But
and if we're not allowed to make a joke about her bigness,
yeah, if you can't,
then we're not comics,
right? Like if you can't, like if like you have to laugh at yourself. Like if I can't laugh at my like scrawny, like in the movie 30 Nights of Paranormal Activity with the Devil Inside the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which is out right now, available on Amazon, Best Buy, Walmart, and iTunes, whatever, Target. Of course, a plug. I've got to make sure I make residuals on it. There's a scene.
Give us a starter, a new starter.
There's a scene where I'm pretty much naked. Like I'm literally in this shot. I'm in the actual when we're shooting it. I wore what's called a. Oh, that's my manager.
It's 1 o'clock.
It is 1 o'clock. I was expecting a call from a manager.
Pause.
All right, we're gonna take a little break. So I talk to my manager. And we're back. Wow, what a short...
And our front.
Oy. That was
That's literally your line, so you can't oy me.
Well, it's funny when I do it.
I see.
It goes, hey, Flip, you're back. And my front.
Ooh.
Yes, we're back. For you, it was just a one quick second little gap of nothing. For us, it's been a few hours, yes?
Yeah, it's been 3 hours.
3 hours. Well, a lot has happened.
I went to physical therapy, Flip talked to his manager, Oikevolt.
That was a lot, but we're like, you know what? We cannot forget what was important today, and that is you people.
Exactly.
You, the lovely people. Which reminds me, real quick, I want to make a... Because earlier in the show, I had mentioned, like, kind of... half joked around about donating to the show or whatever.
Jesus Lord. No.
And I want to say a very special thank you to Graham Dodd. Graham is a fan who listened and who basically wrote and said, loved the show, love you and Allison. Is there any way I can make a donation? Which was completely surprising and very, very flattering.
Unbelievably sweet and generous for no reason, and it's amazing. Well, thank you.
He likes the show, and that's just a wonderful vote of, you know, of confidence for us as far as how we feel the show is going. I don't know. So
Graham,
anyway,
we love you.
So thank you, Graham.
We sent
Graham. I said, well, dude, let me at least send you something. So Graham donated a nice bit of money to the show, and I sent him a DVD as a very special thank you. But again, just letting you know that hey, if you want to do it, it's the opportunity. The invitation is there, and we will be incredibly grateful and send you something nice in return from the What's for Dinner catalog, translation, my merchandise, and Allison CD. Our merchandise.
You are hilarious.
I would hope so.
And now the plugs have now reached over into the money realm.
What do you mean the plugs have reached over into the money realm?
Well, I mean, of course, since we're entertainers, we're like, please watch us. Please come to our shows. Please support the movie. Please support this. And then it's like, by the way, we now are experiencing
fiduciary problems
with the car.
All I'm saying is, if you like the show, if you like what we do, and you want to show your appreciation, you could send...
Ultimatum. If you like the show, send us money.
If you don't like the show, go fuck yourself.
If you don't, send us a bag of shit. If you don't like the show, send us shit in a fucking postage box, whatever.
Yeah, see, never take over the mic unless you got something funny to say.
I was laughing too much in my soul to finish that sentence.
So that's UPS, what Brown can do for you.
Oh, see that? Oh.
See, that's why
Universal
I,
poop.
See, that's why I have the mute button. I control the power of the show. And you're back.
Universal poop service.
You pause so long. I've got to say poop.
God
I've
damn
find
it.
A
you better
poop.
Let me say it. Shit.
So how was your physical therapy, by the way?
It was good. It was good. It's been a long time since
What do you
I've
do
been.
In the physical therapy? Because I've never been with you there.
You should come on time. Well, this time was very different than the last few times I've been. Usually when I go, we dependent upon where I've been at in the days or weeks prior, he will give me different exercise regimens. And
so it's exercises you do.
It's exercises I do, but then there's also like actual therapy where he will do. I mean, I don't want to call it massage because it's not really massage. It's almost like he knows.
Are
these
you giving hand jobs? Is that your day job?
That's
honey?
What I do.
Is that?
No, he does. No, listen. Basically, it's like I have these little weird pressure points on my back, and he'll like push on them real hard, and I'll actually feel relief. It's really weird. But and he just like, you know, straightens me up. Like when he sees the way I'm walking or standing, when I complain about certain problems, then he'll straighten me out, whatnot. But today was different because I hadn't been in about 3 months. We were doing so much traveling. I didn't get a chance to go. And I think we just had to start with a new evaluation since it's been a while, and mm-hmm. I've been doing a lot. And luckily, I'd like to report that whereas I could not do much earlier this year because of my back problem, which is basically herniated discs. I don't have anything between my lowest three vertebrae. They're all gone.
You don't have anything between your ears either.
Listen to him. Listen to him and his jokes. Support his jokes. Give us money. the idea that... yeah, basically we just had to reevaluate what I'm dealing with at this point, and he says that I'm doing pretty darn good
well,
with my
awesome.
Situation.
That is awesome, baby doll. I'm very
yeah,
happy
so
to
soon
that.
I'll be able to blow you again.
Oh, soon.
Again? Soon. Who am I kidding? That's all I do.
That's all you. All I do every day: clean and blow and blow and clean.
Yes, and then one day I'll do
You're
it
like
to Flip.
You're like a slutty Cinderella.
One day I'll actually do it to Flip too. Every now and again. Every now and again.
Well, good. I'm glad you're feeling better, baby D.
Yay, baby. What did you do in the hour that I was gone? Did you play with your schmiggles?
No, I didn't play with my schmiggle. I never thought I would get to the age where I'm like, I don't feel like jerking off. Jerking off to me, like when I was a kid, honestly, when I was a kid, once I discovered, it was like a new toy. It really was. I mean, I think every guy listening to this remembers that moment where, like, I'll tell you my story, and I'll change the names so not to embarrass whoever might be the person involved in the story. When I was younger, I had a very, very good friend, and we'll just call him Dennis, okay? And Dennis lived a couple houses down from me, one of my best friends growing up, and I met him when I was like 4, blah, blah, blah. We get to that age. We get to like the 12, 13-year-old age when, you know, hey, that kind of feels good when I rub it against my jeans. And so my friend Dennis one day came to me and goes, dude, because we had heard about masturbation. Masturbation was this, like this legend you heard about. Like, do you know if you take your winky and you jerk it back and forth, it'll feel great. And I remember there were times, like, and this is what I guess young guys, when you're kids, you talk about this kind of shit with each other. It doesn't seem weird at the time. And I remember a couple of times, like, I was up late being like 9:30. And Cinemax was on, and it was like, you know, skin flicks. And, you know, I'd start getting a little boner. So I'd go in the bathroom, and I'd start to try to... I don't know why the bathroom was... The bathroom was my first sanctuary for masturbation.
Well, because you can lock the door, and any time that you're, like, making noises...
Yeah, I could have locked the door in my bedroom.
No,
but I guess...
If you're making, like, tick-tick-tick sounds...
What, do I have a fucking, like... Do I have a shotgun in my pants? Like... No, it's...
But you can run the water, and you can, like...
That wasn't even a factor to me. It was just, like, I don't want to do this in my bedroom. I want to
make a mess.
For whatever reason, the bathroom was a sanctuary. And I would, a couple of times, I would start doing it, and, you know, and I guess that feeling you get right when the stimulation and the orgasm is about to happen would scare me, and I'd stop. I would literally stop myself in the middle of masturbation. I was so scared about it. And then Dennis one day came by, and he goes, dude, I did it. It's fucking awesome. You've got to do it. So I think a couple nights later, again, I was watching Cinemax, and I remember there was this movie about women in prison, and there was tits galore, and I went, all right. It was like one of those, I will do this tonight. And I went in the bathroom, and I started going, and I felt that feeling. And, you know, in that first time, it's very scary when you're feeling that because your heart's racing and you feel this literally a feeling you've never felt before from your genitals. And it's weird. But I kept going, and I had myself a grand old time. It was like Flintstones. We'll have a game. Well, not game. Okay, totally wrong. Wrong choice of words.
It was like the Flintstones, he says.
I got my rocks off, basically.
Nice.
And from then on, I was hooked. I was addicted.
I was going to say, did you use your feet if it was the Flintstones?
Yabba dabba doo.
You yabba dabba good.
But nice. But ever since then it just became like every time. I tried to. Oh my God, I'll tell this story. I was. How old was I? I was in high school. I was in my peer counseling class. And so I guess I was. Junior, I think, maybe 10th or 11th grade. I don't think I was a senior yet. And there were some hot girls in that class. Oh, God. And I remember the peer counseling class was set up like it was very laid back. We didn't have desks and seats. We had couches, literally couches all around the walls of the room. Very laid back. Our teacher was an old hippie. Great guy. He actually lives in Central Florida. I've seen him at a couple of Groucho's gigs. Joe Boone. Joe, if you're around, if you listen to this, hope you're doing well. And I remember I was in that class, and I mean, honestly, we wouldn't work. We would just shoot the shit. We'd hang out. I'd sleep sometimes. It was great. And this one time, the girl was, and like the way I was sitting on the couch, the way my dick was rubbing against my jeans, I got a boner. That happens, ladies, by the way. It rubs against the jeans the right way. You get a hard on. And I'm like, well, I'm going to try to use this to my advantage. So I was pretending to sleep and trying to hide my hard on, and I literally tried to jerk myself off without using my hands. I was using the muscles in my penis to contract and expand and use the friction against my jeans to try to get me off.
Jesus Lord.
It didn't happen, but I'll tell you two things. One, very close a couple of times. Like to the point where I'm like, this could happen. And two, Five wasn't a very ingenious little kid. If I'm like, I'm not going to get embarrassed jerking off in class, but I'm going to try to do it as subtly. It was like MacGyver for jerking off.
But what would you do if you would have splooged on yourself? You'd just been like, oh, I just spit or I blew boogers. I don't know. Like,
what?
If you splooged on yourself, then you've got like...
Well, no, my dick wasn't out. It's not like it would have gotten my clothes. No, it would have been in my underwear.
Yeah, that's even worse. It's like you pissed yourself or something.
Well, you know what? So I walk around with some jizz in my pants for a couple of hours.
A jizz in my pants.
I would have jizzed in my pants. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would have been more impressed with myself for actually doing it. I wasn't thinking ahead. I was thinking for the now. I'm like, this has to be done now. And I thought if I was able to do it, it would be like the coolest superpower to have.
Oh my God.
Just like, hilarious. I am bored. Let me jerk off without using my hand. Done.
How would you save the world like that?
Very slowly. Yes, exactly. But with a big smile on my face.
There you go. Well, I remember, God, one of the very first times that I felt like tingles down in that area that felt different. I swear to God, I was probably, God, like 9 or something like that, 8 or 9. And I was watching Dirty Dancing. And that part where they're like starting to get all like sexy and he's like taking off her shirt and he's like kissing her neck and everything. All of a sudden I started getting tingly. And this is way before I liked boys. I mean, you like boys when you're a young girl, but
so
it's only
Jennifer
because
Jennifer Grey that was turning you on.
No. It was the act of the physical like sexiness. And it was just a tingle and I was like, weird. And then like I did nothing with it. Cut to like.
How old were you?
Like 8 or 9, I don't know. Okay. Like old enough to feel stimulation down there, I guess.
But to not know what it was.
But to have no idea and to not want to continue with it. It was still kind of like, woo, it was like weird to me. But then I remember when I was about 14, I had this little boyfriend. One of my first like makeout boyfriends, like the kind of boyfriend that we wouldn't just peck kiss. We would actually physically like make out.
Yeah.
And oh, I know, but it was hot. It was when I finally started to go through that pubescent time. But there was one night, this was really early in our relationship, where he called me up and we were having like phone sex. It was the first time I've ever like, you know, we were talking like real dirty to
each
other.
And how old were you at this point?
14.
Oh, 14.
We had no idea what we were like really like, you know, what to do, but we did at the same time. We knew we'd watched movies and whatnot. So we talked up a big game and I remember getting really horny. It was the first time where I was like, oh my God, I just got to touch myself. So I remember touching myself. I don't think I came to a fruition. I don't think there was actually, because I didn't understand that that was what it could lead to. I thought it was just a constant good feeling,
tingle, yeah.
You know? Yeah. But once I finally got good old Pinky, my first dildo, bright, I still have her.
You call
or
her.
Or him, whatever.
Wait,
you want to call it.
Is it the color or the size?
The color.
Ah.
Oh, it would be hilarious if it was Pinky.
That's what I honestly thought you meant like you used your Pinky to first diddle yourself, like good old Pinky.
Do you know what I used? I'll tell you honestly what I first used.
Oh, okay. By the way, everybody, you're learning a lot about Flip and Allison this week.
They learn a lot about us every week. If they go to a show of ours, they learn a lot.
Yeah, we haven't talked about this.
Well, I was going to say that my very first apparatus, once I was like bored with my fingers, was a glass cigar tube that I put a condom around. I literally was like, and now there's another comic out there who has a joke about putting condoms on dildos because you don't know where it's been. Mm-hmm. I'll give her the credits, Jen Murphy. She's hilarious and
very
brilliant.
Funny.
But I literally laughed so hard when she said that because I truly did it. And not because I didn't know where it had been. Is because I wanted to provide just a slight bit of softness to that glass tube. Like I could easily wash the outside of the tube. But there's another thing is I didn't want, you know, any tobacco-y residue
that,
or something.
Well, number one, I think you could just wash it out and get all the tobacco out. Number two, I think that having something like a smooth glass like apparatus would be more comfortable than putting a condom over it with all that rubber.
No, but see, like the rubber has like a lubrication on it, so it was almost like,
why couldn't you just lube the cigar?
And I have a song about this too. I don't like the idea of a glass dildo because it's too hard. It doesn't fulfill that same fantasy that you're dealing with a penis. Like a penis is kind of softy, even if it's hard, it's got like softness to it. So the idea that
we're like the snuggle bunny.
Yeah.
Or the snuggle bear.
Or what?
The snuggle.
Snuggle. Oh.
Soft.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sorry.
Dating yourself.
Not dating. By the way, anybody listening overseas, obscure American pop culture reference. Sorry.
Snuggle was the fabric softener.
We'll continue with your cigar.
Anyway,
fucking.
So yeah, so that I fucked the cigar. But then when I finally got Pinky, yeah, it's my first dildo, and it's awesome. I still have it. I called it her because it's a girl's, you know, it's a girl's color. But
you're so gay.
I know, I really am. I'm fucking like a non-strap-on and envisioning women. It's wonderful. No, but here was the funniest part is that, and still to this day, I cannot watch porn the normal way. I would hide all of my porns that I would get because my boyfriend at the time was a little older, was able to buy me porn, so even though I was 16, I had a dildo and I had porn. So, hi, Mom. But anyway, right under.
Hello.
But right in my sock drawer, since, you know, whatever, you had to have your own drawer, I would hide all my porn and my dildo underneath all the socks. So, and I don't think Mom ever found it. Or if she did, it wasn't until later in the years. But because she was literally in the next room, I would watch porn on mute. So it was literally me just watching it, and I never heard sounds. I never heard anything. I just watched it, and it was great. I had great nights. Oh, my God, amazing. But then, not even recently, but like a few years later, I heard porn for the first time, and it was so terrifying. I was like, this is the worst thing ever. I can't listen to their sounds, and they're faking. I mean, literally, it's so fake when you hear the shit that they say. They're like, oh, my God, it's
don't
so good.
Ruin it for me.
But
don't
it's like
ruin it.
But it's so funny. So now, still to this day, the only way that I feel comfortable watching porn is on mute. I like maybe slightly just to kind of break myself out of that habit have turned up the volume slightly and hear like background like in the back. But it's like I don't hear
you
it.
And I are so different.
It's so distracting.
She knows that. She knows for me like.
He likes squeaks.
I like squeaks. I like that little. I don't know why. It's one of those things that just resonates with
me. Because you're imagining a woman feeling that from you and your own staff.
Yeah, well, maybe if you make some fucking noise, I wouldn't have to.
I do. I go.
I know you do.
Just the way you like it.
Yes, I like when you. I like when you come like a black man from a doo-wop.
I know what your fantasies are.
Boo boo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. He's all right.
Oh, he's dead. I told. I'm not sure if I mentioned this. If I ever told the story on the show, I think I've told it to you. If I have told this on the show before, I apologize, but because a lot of times I'll ramble and I'll forget what I say, and I never take notes on shows, and I'll be honest, I never really listen back to the shows after we record them, because I move on. But this was an absolute true story, just talking about how you used to hide all your stuff. Years ago, and when I say years ago, I mean probably around 97, 98, maybe even 99, actually. Yeah, somewhere around there. A comedian who I knew, who also worked at a sex shop, sent me something. And this was because I had this bit. Do you remember Miss Cleo, the psychic, those commercials?
Yeah.
If you don't remember this, you can YouTube
Miss
this.
Miss Cleo.
Yeah, it was this Jamaican woman. Miss Cleo,
call me.
Call
me now.
Call me now. I tell you everything you need to know about your life. Call me. Oh, girl, he's cheating on you. Get away from him now. So I had this bit that I did called Miss Clitty, the psychic pussy.
Oy.
It was this quick little stupid bit where I'd stand on stage and I'd like have my hands on my crotch and I'd like make my hands look like talking lips, basically. And I go, you know, like, oh, you know, let me check my crystal labia. Oh, read my lips. Something smells fishy. You know, stupid shit like that. Yeah, I'm not proud of it.
Something smells fishy.
But my friend who was worked at the sex shop as a joke sent me literally a plastic pussy.
Oh, I have one too.
Not like mine. Basically, it was this mold.
Oh, it was the fleshlight.
That we have the fleshlight, which was a gift to us from Sam Tripoli in The Naughty Show. But this was basically, it was a mold of a vagina. It was about, I'm trying to, size-wise, I would say.
Like a soccer ball?
I'd say size of a catcher, ironically, like a catcher's mitt. You know? Like, not that shape, but around that size, you know? And it had a... It had like this fleshy, I guess, for lack of a better term, sock.
Cavity?
No. It had a hole, but I mean, it had like this tube or sock thing.
Yeah.
And I say sock.
It's like
not
a cavity to smoosh yourself into.
Well, no, because the thing itself was kind of flat. It wasn't that thick. And there was this long tube, not long, but this tube in the on the other side of it that you literally put your dick in. Your erect penis goes into that, and that's where you would in that, and then you clean it out, right?
I was gonna say, you just followed up erect penis with... You were like getting all like atomical. You're like, this is the part of which you inject your erect penis.
You inject your erect penis in the fleshlight sock, and then
but
you.
Then you make sure that you
wave it all over it.
Not ejaculate, no.
You whatever. Don't critique my talking.
I love you.
I love you too. So So she sent it to me. It was hilarious. Now you're probably saying, "Well, did you actually use it?" Yeah,
of course you
of
did.
Of course, come on, you can't not use it. As Doug Stanhope would say, you can't have something in your house and not eventually put your dick in it, much like the cat in the VCR. That is a Doug Stanhope joke. It is not mine. Doug is brilliant.
That's fucking great.
It's very funny. So anyway, so I used it a few times. Whatever. It was nice. It was interesting. It was one of those, like, you do it, and when you're done, you're going, oh, I feel so ashamed. But nah, whatever. I'm human. So, but anyway, I pack it up, right? I put it in this box that it came in.
Pack it up.
Put it in this box that it came in, which is basically like just this plastic clear box. And I hid it up in my closet where it always has been. Now, cut to early 2001. I'm moving out to LA. I'm in the car with my friend Adam.
Oh, my God.
I'm in the car with my friend Adam. He's taking the drive with me cross country from Fort Lauderdale, Florida to Los Angeles. And I had packed all my shit away, all my clothes. Most of my shit was already ahead, like on a truck going to LA. And I'm in my car with Adam with basically clothes and a bunch of shit, whatever. So we're driving and we're about to go. I think we're just hitting Mississippi or something. And literally we're driving and I just go, I forgot my pussy. And he goes, what? And I tell him the story and go, that I forgot it. It's still in the closet. And he goes, okay, you know what? When we get to the hotel tonight, call your dad. Your dad's very cool. He'll probably laugh it off and, you know, make sure it's put away and you can get it or whatever later. So I'm like, okay, that's a good idea. So we get to the hotel and I call my parents to check in, and my mom answers and she's like, everything okay? I go, yeah, we're in Mississippi. We're at the hotel. Everything's fine. She goes, that's good. By the way, I was cleaning your closet today, and before she said another word, I just said, Mom, I am so sorry. And she goes, Flip, I have never been more scared of anything in my entire life.
I love your mom so much.
Because, I mean, you have to imagine, it was literally like a mound of pussy staring my mother in the face. Just this big vagina, like,
well, have you talked about that since then?
Yeah. With my mom?
Yes. Like, what else was said? Were the words pussy ever, was the word pussy ever uttered?
I don't think the pussy was ever said, but she just said, Flip, I was never so scared. I think I jumped back a little in fear. And I said, Mom, I'm sorry. And I think she said something like, hey, it could have been worse. It could have been a dick.
I could see your mom saying that, too.
My mom's pretty cool.
Oh, my God. His parents seriously have the best sense. There's a reason why. If you think Flip is funny, it's you just have to meet the rest of his family and see, oh, he's just one of the funny people. I mean, seriously, he's just like an apple in an orchard of funny.
Yeah, I always equate it to like when Superman left Krypton and came to Earth, he was Superman. He was the most powerful man in the world. But if he goes back to Krypton, just another dude. Just another fucking dude. Oh, shit, there goes Kal-El, whatever. Go take his lunch money or whatever.
His family is so freaking funny.
What it is. Like, right now, like, when I'm on stage, people are like, oh, my God, you are so funny, blah, blah. But then if you go to my house and see my family, like, I'm just everybody's funny in my family.
It's funny because, like, I'm obviously have a very dirty mindset, and so does Flip. My family, well, I should say my mom's side of the family, which is the one that I was raised with, they're very, I don't want to say prim and proper, but, you know, a bad word. Like, I've seriously never heard any of my family utter a bad word. Like, they're just very good Jewish people, you know. So me being born into that family, it just didn't link up. I meet Flip's family, and I think, holy shit, maybe we're like cousins separated at birth or something.
Well, there's a great thought. Thanks, honey. Now
you're welcome.
Now it's incest. I'm
fucking
my cousin.
No, but seriously. And then as we go on through the years, we've been together for just about 4 years now. Actually, in a week, it'll be 4 years.
Oh, happy almost anniversary.
I know. We're cute. So the fact of the matter that I'm, you know, been warming up to the family all these years, but his extended family, his aunts and uncles, who all live very close, it's almost like they're all the intermediate family. Even this last trip, the women are very funny, and the guys are a little bit quieter than the women in the family. I was talking to the men, and the men, I mean, I feel so at home with them, because they all, even in the quietest of conversations, they'll bring up some dirty, funny joke as if it's nothing, as if it's just normal.
That's my family.
I love it.
It's like, whatever.
I love it. I'm so comfortable with everybody now. Yes. I was always afraid. I'm like, have you heard my songs? Ugh, and you still want me to be with your boy?
Yeah, my aunt's like, you should say cunt more. Cunt's a funny word. Don't say pussy. Pussy, everybody says. Say cunt.
Oh, your aunt would never. That aunt would never say that. The other aunt would. The other
aunt. Yeah, the other aunt definitely would. I actually have a running joke with my with one of my aunts. This, I hope you guys find this funny, because it's hilarious to us. But years ago, I called my aunt one time. And again, I'll to protect for anonymity, I'll call her aunt Miriam.
There we go.
And I called my aunt Miriam. She goes, "Hello," and I go, "Miriam, it's me."
"Who?" "It's me. Listen, it's still dry." "What?" "It's still dry down there, Miriam."
Click. She hung up. I called back.
"Hello, Miriam. Why'd you hang up on me? I need some more lube." "Who is this?" "Miriam, it's dry. It's like my vagina's dry."
Click. Call back a third time.
"Who is this?"
"Aunt Miriam, it's me." It's Flip.
"Oh, fuck you. I didn't know who this was. It was driving me crazy."
So now I have this running joke whenever I see my... Now, actually, my aunt comes up to me and goes, "Flip, it's so dry. It's so dry now, Flip." It's really weird how that joke has turned around on me. Now I'm disgusted because I think about my aunt.
You're like, yeah, did you seriously say that?
Ew, Miriam, put that thing away.
Oh, my God.
But I
should I tell him the Aunt Miriam and Uncle Donald story?
I have no idea what story that
about is. About the ring and the prayer? No?
Nah.
All right. Never mind. That'll leave you. All of you will be.
That'll leave you hanging.
Yeah, all of you will be. Just know that they all have very, very, very funny, dirty mindsets, and it's not raunchy with them. It's just funny. It's just life. It's just silliness.
Speaking of raunchy.
What?
It's time for the Skippy Green Show.
It's the Skippy Green Show.
Well, hello, you dirty dog.
Oh, it's this old bitch again, huh?
You know me and my cunt.
Oh, I know you and your cunt very well. Very well. Matter of fact, I left my initials down there. It says Skippy was here. He had a great time. By the way, the bathroom on the left doesn't flush too well, so be careful. I'll see you next time. Love and kisses. You have a lot of room to write things.
I was
going to
say, I have a very, very large labia.
James Franco was trapped in there one time for 127 hours.
He had to cut his arm off and leave it in there.
I found it. It was not a pretty sight. All right. You know how this works, Allison. You ready?
I do. 10 words exactly. Not
answer
9.
This question in 10 words exactly. Not 11, not 9. 10 words. You ready?
I hope so.
If you can stick anything up your sniz that isn't a cigar tube or a pink dildo, but it's something that you could find at 7-Eleven, what would it be and why?
Something at 7-Eleven.
Not a cigar tube or a pink dildo, which they sell plenty of at the local 7-Eleven.
It would be a 5-pack Slim Jim meets awesome.
That sounds like
semicolon meets awesome.
That sounds like the worst horror movie ever. It would be a Slim Jim meets awesome. Coming soon to a theater near you.
Or here, a better 10. No, 5-pack Slim Jim spiced meat feels better than none. Yeah!
The mother of my future children, everybody.
Wee!
baby. This was fun. Just you and me kind of shooting the shit and hanging out.
We could do that more, Poopy Pants. I like when you shoot shit in my direction.
Well, that's a...
We're about to make a German Scheisse film, so that'll work.
With a German Shepherd. Hello, where's my sheep? honey,
in my asshole.
Anything you want to pluggies?
When are we? Oh, this is coming up immediately.
You can
see me at Flappers Comedy Club on Valentine's Day, since Flip's not going to be here to take me out. Also, you can see me at the Comedy Store on February 20th, and I have a brand new CD. You can get it on my website. It's called So I Wrote a Song About It. It's basically everything I've written. And
you've heard some of the songs tonight.
And check my website for upcoming gigs. Flip and I are going to be in the Slow Comedy Festival.
That's
yay,
right.
For a third year running.
That's right.
And that's the end of February into the first week of March. And
and all your dates are at dirtyguitargirl.com.
Exactly. Right? So you can check up. I'm going to be in Scottsdale, Arizona in March as well.
And like I said, guys, if you are in the Pennsylvania, Delaware area, you happen to be a college student know anybody up in that area, let them know that I will be at, I want to see if I can pronounce this right, Misericordia University? Misericordia. I apologize for pronunciation. In Dallas, Pennsylvania on February 15th. I will then be in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania at Penn State University Wilkes-Barre in Lehman, Pennsylvania on February 18th. And then on the 19th, I will be at the University of Delaware in Newark, Delaware on the 19th. So a nice little college run up there if you happen to be up in that area. Come on by. And like Allie said, the 28th through the 4th, we will be at the San Luis Obispo Comedy Festival in San Luis Obispo, California.
And we each have shows each of those nights.
Yes,
so.
All the information at slowfest.com, or you could just go to flipisfunny.com. And on March 8th, I will be in Moorhead, Minnesota at Concordia College. So a bunch of college gigs coming up, and a lot of other shows coming up. And by the way, guys, if you want to see us in your town, we would love to come by and perform at your local comedy club. So do a favor, talk to your club, send them an email next time you're there to say, hey, we'd love to see Flip Schultz and Allison Weber at the club. We're really big fans. And tell you what, if we get to a club in your area, and you say, hey, dude, I was requesting you at our club. When we are there, we will make sure to definitely give you a special treat.
We'll
present.
Buy you a new starter for your car.
Not quite, but we'll give you a CD or something. Because, in all sincerity, we definitely do appreciate you guys. And again, Graham, thank you so much for the donation. And to all of our wonderful fans who send us Facebooks or emails or just come up to us at a show and say, hey, we're fans of the podcast.
We just love everybody so much. And we thank you for the support constantly.
Absolutely. Sincerely, from the bottom of our hearts, we do thank you guys. You guys have a great week, and we will talk to you next time. By the way, big guest, as far as this little show is concerned. Got a big guest coming up in a couple weeks, but I'm not going to tell you who. I'll just say it's a very, very well-known comedian friend of mine.
But
that will be revealed at another time. Thank you guys again. Have a great day. Talk to you later. Bye.
We love you.
Bye.
Talking about what's ever on their mind.
Bye.
Talking about what's ever on their mind.